John, will if you'll take your homework, make sure your name is on the top of it. Pass it to the to your left. Okay, we'll be by to collect it in just a few moments. What is everybody laughing for? Let me ask you a question. So, who has their homework? Who would like to take an opportunity and share their homework just real quickly? We're going to do it throughout, okay? Anybody? Don't be bashful.
You want me to do it from where I'm sitting over?
You can do it from where you're sitting, yeah.
Well, since I'm already up here.
Do what? Okay.
First of all, I was involved deeply with EE many, many years ago, and one of the things we had to do was to have a very brief testimonial that we could either give during the EE outline or a church testimony. So I looked at that one, and that wouldn't work anymore. So I put this one here together. I've rehearsed it many times, but I'm going to read it to you so I'll make sure I don't leave nothing out. Most of my life, I lived the way I wanted to. Even though at a young age I made a profession of faith and was baptized, I went off into the world on my own. I took charge of my life and lived it pretty much the way I thought it should be, doing all the things that made me happy, or so I thought. But it seemed something was always lacking. I was never truly satisfied. Something was definitely wrong. But yet I kept going my way. Slowly but surely, my life seemed to come unglued, totally out of control. And then one night, empty and alone, I hit the bottom, mentally and emotionally. I realized that I just couldn't take it anymore, and I was finished. My way had failed, and I wanted it to all be over in the deepest, darkest way. Somehow, out of all of my mess, I remembered the Lord. And I realized that I hadn't thought about Him for a very, very, very long time. And suddenly, I heard myself crying out to Him, "Oh, my Lord Jesus, help me. Forgive me for what I've done with the life You had already given me." I was convicted in my heart that all that was in my life had been my own doing. I had not put my faith, I had not put my trust in the only one who could make my life complete. The only one who accepted me just as I was and loved me unconditionally, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for me. That night I asked Him to come and to forgive me of my sins, come into my life and as my Lord and Savior, change my life His way, to have His will with me and free me of myself. He is now my Lord, and He is in absolute control of the life He's blessed me with. All that I am, all that I have, and all that I will ever be belongs to Him. Praise
the Lord. Amen. So, you know, the question that we dealt with and we have been dealing with over the last couple of Wednesday nights is, so how do we share our faith? And that's the crux of it. Okay, that's kind of the just where the rubber kind of meets the road is becoming to the point that we're comfortable to share our faith regardless of where we may be. You know, I've shared this with you before, whether it's on an elevator in a hospital, going up to visit somebody, whether it's in the line at the grocery store, our neighbor across the street, our coworker, our family member, wherever we are, okay, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and when doors of opportunity are opened, that we're allowed to share the gospel with them, then, you know, how do you get to the point that you're comfortable to do that, and that you're comfortable to have that conversation with someone? Well, I gave you six of the top reasons as to why people don't share their faith. We've gone through the first three, and so we're going to deal with the last remaining three tonight. Of course, the first one is the fear of being rejected. Now, I will tell you, I don't care who you are, okay? We talked about this. Nobody likes to be rejected. That's the nature of who we are. Okay? But when you understand and you get to the point that you're very comfortable with this, that the rejection, and you need to understand the rejection is not you. It's a rejection of the truth that you hold. It's the rejection of the truth that you share concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so when you understand that, then it gives you a little bit more confidence, especially when you're sharing your faith with someone else. The fear of what my friends will think. That's a big one. OK, we run into that all the time. Well, what will my friends think if I start talking to them about Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not much of a friend, if you're not willing to take the time to offer the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with your own friend, okay, whether they take it well or not, you would not be a very good friend if you withheld the truth from them. And then the third one we looked at was the fear of sharing with coworkers. Now, that's a little bit more difficult, because in some areas where some folks work, I mean, you just can't go around to your coworkers and start striking up conversations about the gospel or about church or those type of things. So, but there are opportunities. There's opportunities at break. There's opportunities at lunch. There's opportunities. There's varying opportunities, and I shared some of those with y'all that I had while I was at Alltel and working there at Alltel. You know, you just have to look for them when they come around. Well, we're going to deal with the last three tonight. And the first one of those is the fear of not being knowledgeable. I hear that all of the time. Well, what if they ask me a question I cannot answer? What do I do then? Well, let me tell you something. There's no need for you to be concerned about that. If they ask you a question, most of the time, it's a question that is not even really applicable to what you're trying to share with them. And so basically, what I'm going to do as we go through this is when we finish all six of these, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you then next Wednesday night down a road of how you can help steer those conversations based upon a question that they ask you, to steer it back around to where you need to get the conversation back to. So it's not so much a knowledge issue, but it's being comfortable with the confidence of sharing your faith, okay? And just making sure that you're confident in your own faith. I've got a true story I want to share with you tonight. And I took this down, and I want to just kind of go through it and share it with you. And it's a story of a young man by the name of Nate. And let me just share with you who Nate was. Nate tested in the upper one percentile in intelligence, and he read 1,250 words per minute with total recall. That's who he was. He scored one of the highest scores on it's a test called the Mensa test. And the Mensa test tests for geniuses is what it does. So it scored one of the highest scores on the Mensa test, and found an error in the test while taking it, while setting the exam. He actually found an error in the exam. Matter of fact, he was a proclaimed atheist. It was one of the things that he had come to. And he had a hobby. His hobby was taking different religions and basically tearing them apart. Okay, looking at all the fallacies and just tearing them apart. And that's what he spent his time doing. Well, Nate crossed paths with a fellow named John, and while serving in the military. And John only had a 12th grade education. That's all John had. John was just a regular guy, okay? But while riding together on a military bus, the other guys would ridicule and make fun of John because John was a Christian. And John was very confident in his faith. And John always carried a New Testament with him everywhere he went. Well, these guys would make fun of John. They'd ridicule John. And matter of fact, that little New Testament that he would carry with him, the other guys, they would take it from him and they would throw it out the window of the bus. And so John would get off the bus and he'd go out and he'd pick it up and he'd put it back in his pocket. Okay. John never said anything to the other guys about it. Never got on to them. Never said anything. He would just simply get off the bus and pick it up. Well, Nate asked him one day, and here's what he asked him. He said, "Why in the world do you let those clowns do that to you?" And John replied back to Nate. He said, "I'm a Christian, sir." And that's all John said. "I'm a Christian, sir." So, Nate, this individual who was this intellectual person, had shredded through every other religion except for Christianity. So he decided to challenge John. So here's Nate's question to John. Do you really believe that somebody got swallowed by a whale and then spit up on the shore alive? All John said was, "My Bible tells me it's so." That's all John said. No matter what, listen, no matter the question, no matter John's response was always the same. Because the Bible says it's so. And that's all John would say. Well, Nate discovered something. Nate could not shake John's faith at all. Couldn't shake him at all. So as they parted ways on this particular weekend, Nate went home and he borrowed a Bible. And when he got home, he read the entire Bible from Genesis to the book of the Revelation over the weekend. Okay? But he could not get past Job chapter 5 and verse number 9. He could not get it out of his head. Job chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, speaking of God, Job is hearing these words. Job chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. Well, reading the scripture through from Genesis to the Revelation, listening to John's response, Nate come to the conclusion after reading Job chapter 5 and verse number 9 that there must be truth to the Bible. There must be truth to Jesus Christ. And so guess what Nate did? He gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And here's a verse that Nate held on to. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so that's what Nate took from their own in the rest of his life. Listen, I hear people say this all the time. Well, but I don't have any theological training. You don't need any. Well, I don't have any. You don't need any. All you've got to do is just be willing to share just what you heard Tommy share. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you where I was. And now when after I met Jesus Christ, let me tell you where I am. And let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. You mean to tell me you believe that book? Yeah, I do. From cover to cover. I do. So one of the things that I think what really just kind of binds us up when it comes to this, we think, and we just for some reason get it in us, that we think the movement with inside of the heart of that individual is based solely on what we do. But let me share one of the things with you tonight. It's not based solely on what you and I do. It is based on the Holy Spirit of God that brings conviction based on the Word of God. That's where the change takes place in the heart. You and I cannot save anybody. And when we understand and realize that we can't save anybody, then we understand the responsibility that we have. And that's to plant the seed. It's to share the Word and leave the rest of it up to God where it belongs. So, do you have to be absolutely knowledgeable? Do you have to be able to answer every single question? No, you do not. Do you have to be an apologist today? No, you do not. Absolutely not. Just be confident in your faith. All right, E. Well, let me tell you what. Before we go to E, does anybody else want to share their testimony tonight after you've gone through and written it out? Anybody else? Don't be bashful. Joe? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. One more. Miss Jean.
Well, my church that I was in for 41 years, Brother T.W. Terrell just called up, not knowing he was going to call up. If the Lord is doing anything in your life today, I want to know about it. Not 40 years ago, what they're doing today. I find that the best testimony that I can give to anybody is to let somebody know what the Lord is doing in my life. I don't care if I'm in the grocery store, behind the buggy. I don't care if I'm in the pastor's office. I don't care where I am. I'm going to find somebody and tell them what the Lord is doing in my life. Many, many years ago, I was not the but I'm going to how to become a Christian. It's called the highway to heaven. That's what we learned. We learned
right. Yeah. That was. That's right.
Born again Christian. The Lord is doing something in your life every day for you to share.
One of the things that I shared, you know, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, the majority of people who come to faith in Jesus Christ come that way by the way of a relationship that they have with a friend of theirs or a close acquaintance or someone. Okay, let me tell you something. They're not, listen. They're not, what's the word I'm looking for? Impressed by how much knowledge you have. What they want to know is, what's it done? What's Jesus Christ done in your life? Okay? What's He done for you? Okay? You know, and I share this all the time. But okay, let me tell you something. I don't want to get into all of the theological and doctrinal issues. Let me just talk about one thing. Okay, I want to talk about one thing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When Jesus Christ came into my life, He changed everything in my life. He set my feet on a solid ground. That is the message they need to hear. What did it do for you? Okay? And what it's done for you, what will it do for me? Right? Well, let's go to the next one in the list of six, number four. Okay? Or number five, I'm sorry. It's the fear of losing my friends and or my relatives. Okay? I deal with this all the time. A family member makes this statement to you that if you ever accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, we're through. We'll disown you. I have heard that over and over and over again. I hear it a lot. Matter of fact, I've dealt with individuals. Matter of fact, I dealt with a young man from Turkey, okay? Spent 3 hours with him, okay? And at the end of it, when it was all said and done, here's what he said. He said, I understand what you're saying, but if I give my heart and life to Jesus Christ and become a Christian, when I go back to Turkey, I will be completely disowned. And then I will probably have to fear for my life because I will be basically disinherited from everything associated with my life. In the Republic of Georgia, where we are, okay? Matter of fact, we hear this a lot. When ones give their heart and life to Jesus Christ and they leave the Eastern Orthodox Church and become a Christian, one of the things that they deal with every day is when that happens, they are considered no longer to be Georgian. Their family will walk away from them. Okay? I'm gonna tell you something. That's a real issue right there. That is a real issue. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus dealt with this very subject in Matthew chapter number 10. Starting in verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Notice what Jesus said. He says, "Don't think that I've come to send or to bring peace on earth." Okay? He said, "I came not to bring peace or to send peace, but a sword." Now, don't go all crazy on me and think, okay, see there, he was a militant. Okay? He was a rebel. He was not a militant. He was not a rebel. And that phrase there would have been very well understood by the Jews. Okay? They'd have very well understood. Basically, it would bring about him. He would bring about division when he came. Okay? Well, verse 35, he said, "I've come." Basically, here's what he said will happen. To set a man, okay, at variance or against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes or his enemies, now notice what Jesus says, will be those of his own household. Let me tell you something tonight. The most difficult ones that you will share your faith with is your own family members. I'll tell you, that's who it is. They are the ones that can be the most difficult. All right? Matter of fact, they quickly become your own enemy. So look at verse 37. Jesus goes on. He says, "So he that loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me." Those are strong words. In other words, does that mean that you're to take your love that you have for your mom and dad and take it and remove it from your mom and dad and now put it over to Jesus Christ? No, that's not what it means. It's not what he's talking about there. What he's talking about is his place in your heart and life, the allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now, do I love my wife? Oh, yes. More than anything else in the world. Okay? But God is the first one. He is at the top. He has my absolute allegiance. Okay? And then comes my wife. Okay? So make sure what Jesus is saying here is in a place of allegiance or authority in your life. And he goes on to say, "And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now notice what he says in verse 38. He brings it all to a summation here in verse 38. "And he that does not take his cross and follow after me," notice what he says, "is not worthy of me. And he that finds his life will lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." In other words, okay, that sounds just opposite of what it seems. You mean to tell me if I lose my life, I'm going to find it? Let me tell you what he's doing. Yeah, when you let self go to the side and Jesus Christ becomes first, let me tell you something. You experience life and life more abundant. Life above what you could ever imagine or think. That's what Jesus is saying here. And that's the part that most people struggle with. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, when Jesus was talking to his disciples before going on to the cross, you know, Jesus spent some time making sure that they understood what was happening, what was coming next. And he told them, and as he shared this with them, these last intimate words between Jesus and the disciples, and here's what he told them. He said, "There's no need for you to be troubled." He said, "If you believe in God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many dwelling places." And he said, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also. And of course, Thomas and Philip was there. And the big question that came out of all of them, well, we don't know where you're going, and how in the world can we know the way? I mean, Thomas and Philip both, is they struggle with that in their own heart. And that's when Jesus looked at them, and here's what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way you will get there. So he said here in Matthew chapter number 10, you need to understand where he should be in your life, in every aspect, in every area. And matter of fact, what Jesus is dealing with here is the very closest relationships to him or to you. He should be above those. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's difficult. Go to Luke chapter 12. Look over at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 through verse 53. In the Synoptic Gospels, this is another account, okay, by Luke. And notice as he writes here, suppose you that I came to grant peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on there will be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father will be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway or immediately you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. And so he says, you hypocrites, you can analyze or discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the time? Yes, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? In other words, on your own initiative, and when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, as you are in the way, give diligence that you may be delivered from him, or make an effort to settle with him, lest he bring you before the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer cast you to prison. I tell you, you shall not depart thence till you have paid the very last mite or cent. And so basically Jesus is saying here, he's talking about that relationship that we need to have that's so important to where he's placed in all the relationships that we have. Okay? All right. Number eight in your notes, when you surrender your life to Christ, one of the things you need to understand, okay, it may cost you many of the relationships that you have. Now you have to make the choice. Am I willing to walk that path? It's a tough decision, isn't it? Huh? For many, it's a tough decision. And I will tell you, I've had many turn around and walk away and say, there's no way I can walk away from that. So what do you do with them when they do that? You pray for them. And you pray that the planting of the seed, that the Holy Spirit can use that, okay? That at some point in time in their life, they realize just how much they need Jesus Christ in their life. Amen? Okay? It's not over at that point. Okay? Most people need to hear a presentation of the gospel close to seven times before they come to the point, okay, that they're ready to accept the truth. Amen? All right, anybody else? Come on. Brother Charles? Okay. Thank you. Ding, the door is open. Second floor. Very good. I've been sharing ones in the elevator before, and when I push the button, I immediately start. As soon as those doors close, I start. And I'm watching out of the peripheral of my eye, watching that thing. And you can tell when that elevator's getting close, okay? And you see it, and all of a sudden I start getting faster and faster and faster and faster. I said, I need to get this last word in, okay? And the door opens, and somebody else on the elevator gets off. The person I'm talking to is still on the elevator. I'm thinking, why'd you waste all that time? You know, why start all over again, okay? And just... Yes. Matter of fact, I have got on there and held that open door button for a little while. Okay. So there are always opportunities when we look for them. But to get your testimony down to the point to where it's very focused and pointed. What did he do for you? How did he change your life? Okay? That's what they need to hear. And in a short amount of time. They don't want to hear your doctrinal dissertation, okay? What did he do for you? Because I'm going to tell you, if they're unsaved and they're lost, they're not a believer, three-quarters of what you're going to tell them, they don't have a clue anyway, okay? So don't even go there. They need to hear about change. Did you want to share yours, Brother Perry?
I will.
Okay, I thought I saw you wanting to jump up over there. I really did.
My testimony sounds suspiciously like Brother Tommy. As a child, I had made a profession of faith and was baptized, and as I grew older, the evidence of my conversion just wasn't there. Church became very unimportant to me. After marriage, my wife Beverly and I would occasionally attend church, but not regularly. Beverly later had a salvation experience and became a regular churchgoer, but I only attended seldom. She would always ask me, but didn't harp on it. After Beverly had been saved for about 15 years, I began to wish I had what she had. Still no conviction. Until things began to go wrong in my life, a failing business that we had started in money matters and other problems as well began to wear on me until one day I fell to my knees and told God that I needed help. I could not do it by myself. This is when I felt as if God had gotten me to the point to where he could work with me. I suddenly wanted to read the Bible, go to church, and associate with other Christians. God had saved me. I have never wanted to return to my previous position. Jesus is all I need.
Amen.
And let me say this tonight. Well, okay. The last one on the list. Okay. When you look at your notes. Okay. The fear of not knowing how to share the gospel or your faith. Okay. Let me tell you what we're going to do from here. We're going to listen to a couple of more tonight. But let me tell you what we're going to do from here. Okay. Next Wednesday night, I am going to give you a couple of different scenarios, okay? And I'm going to share with you the top five questions to ask, okay? When you find yourself with the opportunity to share the gospel, okay? They're the top five, okay? And so I'm gonna give you all five of those. And matter of fact, I'm going to put them in an order for you, right? And let me tell you something. These questions that I'm going to share with you are questions that you can ask at any point in the conversation. Any way the conversation's going, you can ask one of these questions to bring the conversation back to where you need the conversation to be. And most of the time, they'll start answering that question without even realizing what you just did. Okay? Now, okay, hold on. Well, preacher, you're trying to trick them? No, I'm not trying to trick them. I'm trying to keep it focused, okay, on what the topic is, okay? And let me say this to you as well tonight. I'm going to tell you something. I've shared the gospel with a lot of people, all right? I've knocked on a lot of doors, okay? And I will tell you, okay, you will get more no's than you'll ever get yeses, okay? You'll get more rejection than you'll get acceptance, okay? But does that stop you from going? No, it should not. Because it's not about you, it's about God, okay? That's what we have to understand. Now, you're going to have those times, and I'm going to tell you something. I've gone up and knocked on a door and began to, I had this happen. Knocked on the door and was just getting ready to, and I'd shared with them where we were from. And before I could get anything else, tears began to run down their face. And here's what they said. Been praying that someone would bring the truth of the gospel by mine across my path today. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When that happens, my knees start trembling, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what's happened is God has orchestrated that. And at that point in time, you want to be faithful to make sure that they hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And so, how do you share the gospel? I mean, which direction do you take them? Well, let me tell you, somebody like that, okay, they didn't want to go. They didn't need to hear anything else. All they want to know, what do I need to do to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ right now? Okay? It's like when I got saved. I mean, I was sitting there in the church service, and Clint Andrews was preaching. And when Clint Andrews was preaching, the message he was preaching was, you can't have a servant's heart until you've had a changed heart. And I knew immediately, okay? I mean, it was just like I was the only person sitting in that room. And as soon as he got to the end of it, he prayed, he gave the invitation. I grabbed a hymn book and tried to open the hymn book. That wasn't any good. I just fumbled. I threw the hymn book down, turned and walked down the aisle, took Clint Andrews by the hand, and because he knew who I was, and he said, "What in the world? Where are you coming from?" I said, "I need to get this squared away, taken care of today before I leave this place." And he said, "Well, you know what you need to do? Let's just pray." I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "They ain't getting off that easy." I said, "I want you to take the Word of God, and I want you to take me and show me from the Word of God what I need to do." Went through that, prayed, and he said, "Well, you know you need to get baptized." I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "So when are they baptizing?" He said, "Well, they're baptizing tonight." I said, "I'll be there." Got baptized that night, and I will tell you, nothing has ever been the same in my life. He turned me inside out, okay, and gave me a life that I just did not think was possible, to have joy, peace, and contentment to the degree that I have in my heart and life, knowing I belong to Him. Okay, just knowing that I belong to Him. After all of those years of my life of struggling, trying to fill that empty void in my heart with everything from working, from doing, from just in the whole time, that was not the issue. The issue was I did not have Jesus Christ in my heart and life. And that's the issue here. Okay. So next Wednesday night, I'll have a set of notes for you. I'm also going to share with you two digital. Matter of fact, you can go to the app store on your phone. I will give you the apps. You can download the apps to your smartphone. And you can actually, one of them is called the Three Circles, and the other one is called Sharing Your Faith. You can download both of those to your smartphone. And you can use those in any conversation that you're in. You can use either one of those just quickly to take them through and share the gospel. Okay? With that individual. If you're uncomfortable, I'm going to say, I've done it on a napkin in a restaurant. Okay? Scribbling it out on a napkin. Any place that you can find it. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times, you don't have to have this sitting there with you. Okay? Get to the point that you have a couple of passages of scripture that you know. And it's amazing when you find yourself in those positions, okay, that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance to you just what you need at that moment in time. And when you walk away, it's like, where did that come from? Okay. Somebody else? All right, Miss Annie. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That's good. Amen. Sandy mentioned something and I caught it in our testimony. Okay. All of a sudden, once she gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden she found herself having a longing and a desire to see other people come to know Christ. Let me tell you something. That is one of the evidences of knowing that you belong to Him. Because now all of a sudden you have a desire and you have a care and a burden to see other people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Anything else? All right. Here's your homework assignment for next week. All right? No, I'm not going to give you one for next week. Going to skip a week. That's right. I am going to share with you some ways. We're going to go through and look at the questions. And then probably the next Wednesday night. Yeah, I think we'll be here this Wednesday and the next Wednesday night in here together. Then that next Wednesday night, what I'm going to have y'all do is we're going to break up in pairs. And guess what you're going to do? And you cannot pair up with someone that you're well acquainted with in here. Amen. All right, let's stand and we'll be...